T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, welcome back. B. Mitchell Finley, minus J.P. Finley, who's on his way to Las Vegas, Nevada, to cover the Washington football team taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. I was just looking at a thing online. The guy had these little miniature flags of this team when they played back in the day. Both of them now, two totally different names. One of them is in a completely different state and city for sure. But this is a Vodka Red Bull Friday. We're going to keep getting you ready for the game this weekend. I want to just get you set up with a little bit of traffic here. We're going to, at 11:30, be joined by Nolan Harrison, who played 6 years with the Raiders. He also played 3 years with the Steelers. And in 2000, he played with the Washington football team. At 12 o'clock, we'll be joined by Hall of Famer Tim Brown, formerly of Notre Dame, and the Heisman Trophy winner as well. And then at 12:45, we'll get into Dennis Ackerman. Covers the Raiders, does the Believe podcast, I think, for the Raiders as well. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll get into Ax B. Mitch Anything. But Ron Rivera was talking with Kevin Sheehan on the show yesterday, and there's several different things there. And we're going to play some of the clips, and, you know, I like to play things and then comment on them. And we'll get later on, we'll open up the phone lines to you all out there and find out exactly what you're thinking about this game this weekend. And if you got comments about these clips as well, we'll take them. So let's get to the first one, Lanfield. What do we have?
All right, the first clip we have here is Ron Rivera talking about if he's surprised at how quickly Washington's season has turned around.
All right.
You know, it really comes down to the players that are available more so than anything else, week in and week out. I mean, we're at the time of the year that the healthiest teams are the ones that are going to start winning. And that's what you want to be. You want to be healthy at the right time. I think part of it, too, is as the season wears on, the teams that are still growing and developing and doing it the right way are the ones that will play better down the stretch as well. And so far, we've been fortunate enough that, you know, a lot of things that we've done, we've been able to repeat. A lot of things we've been able to done, we've gotten better at, and that's helped us. And we've got to continue to grow, and we've got to continue to focus in on us as a football team getting better week in and week out.
And I totally agree with him right there. I think, you know, injuries are going to happen in pro football. And every year when we start the season out, you know, I know I would say the caveat is who's going to be the healthiest. But I also know that you have to start getting everyone ready to play. And sometimes I look at the approach of this team and other teams out there where they're so concerned about getting everybody to the first game. It's not the first game that matters. It's how many games can you get the best players on your team to play in. And there are guys that get hurt because they're going a little harder earlier, but they come back in time and they begin to hit it at the right time. Right now, Washington is on a tear. I mean, the defense is playing a lot better, and they've lost some major players on their team. But I think that the scheme changed too. So it's not only the injuries that matter, it's how you adjust. I know what you game plan in all season, but once the season starts, something different happens. And I have to tip my hat to them for finally doing it. I just wonder why it took so damn long. Let's go to the next one.
All right, in this next clip, we have Ron Rivera. He's kind of talking about how his leadership style has been different this year from last, and one of the reasons for why that is.
Well, I try to be honest about things, and I try not to hold back things. You know, I try to put it out there. You know, it's interesting, Kevin, because a lot of people say, "Oh, wow, you know, you're really bringing the energy." Well, you know, I'm starting to feel better and better. You know, people don't realize or understand, you know, I get it that people want to see me, you know, be more energetic on the sideline, and that's something that I learned that I need to be. But, you know, having gone through what I went through last year, it's very hard. So now I'm starting to feel it. I don't know if people have noticed, but I've been more active on the sideline, and then I've been very animated pre and post game with the players. I really think that's important, and I think I have to be passionate for our guys to get just how important things are, which is good, which is fine. I'd be more than happy. Whatever I have to do to help these young men out, I'm going to do. I really feel like, Kevin, I owe it to them, and I really appreciate the way they have reacted to it, too.
John Thompson always said, I'd rather calm a fool than resurrect a corpse. And I understand what Ron is saying, and I agree, because last year, for him to be out there trying to best be with the team on a consistent basis, going through chemotherapy and all, it drains you. It takes a lot out of you. The Ron I knew in Philadelphia and the Ron that played in the NFL was a passionate guy. And a lot of times I think people look at it at the fact that, yeah, you're getting a little older, you know, it's not as passionate. No, it's there. And you're starting to see some of that come out. But the way I've always felt that you can't, some of these, like when you're leading this type of team or this type of working in this job, in this industry, it's about what you really are. Nobody wants any fakeness. And I think for him to try to come up with some fake chatter and knowing he can't carry it on would be a problem. But when he has it and he feels it and he does it, you know, I think that's a good thing. You know, so right now, I mean, I see him on the sideline. You can see throwing the stone that they be throwing. I'm just wondering who's going to be fixing that damn them little nicks and stuff you're putting in the wall and all that, you know. So you need to get like a cushioning somewhere so you can throw it into the cushion and you don't mess up, you know, that some of that redwood they got in the locker room and some of the good things. Don't mess those things up.
FedEx is kind of a dump, though. I mean, do they really need to take that much care to not damage it?
Yeah. You know, it's like this. You want to make sure the places that the locker room needs to be nice. You know, your players want to walk into something nice. But I appreciate the fact that he is now, and it's not me appreciating the fact that he is. I like the fact that he's healthy enough to be able to go out there and be who he really is at this point in time.
I think there were times last year where, you know, he was like having to sit down on the benches during the games because he couldn't even stand for the whole thing.
And I think last year you saw where those players would always talk about that, to where he was going through whatever he needed to go through to make sure he could be there for his team. Now he has some more of that energy. So now he can lean on them a little bit more to try to get more out of them. I just still wonder, why didn't it start earlier? Little things you can say, even if you don't have the energy. But now, having the energy, I like seeing the energetic Ron instead of the stoic Ron, to be honest.
When you were playing, did you kind of prefer, you know, coaches that were, you know, like really kind of enthusiastic and expressive on the sideline?
Or if that's who you are.
Okay.
If you're not that person, don't fake with me. I don't want it.
Okay.
But to be honest, and I was, you've been around me for the last year or so. I don't lack energy, you know, so I wanted the truth from my coach, and I don't want a coach, if he's trying to hype me up, going, hey, we got to get hyped up, man, come on. If we got to get hyped up, then damn it, you got to buy all in so I can buy all in. Because if you come up to me and say, hey, Brian, we really got to get hyped, I'm like, what the hell is this, man? You whispering? You know, I might want to fight you. And I just think that, but I like the fact that he's starting to get the energy back. You know, when you start to see someone go through what he went through and now he's starting to feel healthy enough to be able to get back to being who he really is and was, you respect that.
All right, so last year in 2020, the Washington football team had the second overall pick in the draft, and yeah, they ended up taking Chase Young. Kevin Sheehan asked Ron Rivera if there was considerations of taking other players there, maybe a quarterback. And here's what he said.
Well, the hard part about it was there really was no other clear cut. You know what I'm saying? There was nobody that was truly challenging Burrow. If you really, I mean, go back and look at it. Did anybody ever say that this guy would challenge Burrow as the number one? And nobody did. And looking at what we had defensively, look at the personnel we had, you know, you felt like, let's build this section of the team. Let's build this section of the team here. And then find out if we have the guy. And I came in with a legitimate, you know, I got to take a look at Dwayne, the way he finished the season. I mean, I'm just being honest. That was my interpretation of what I did. Now, I admitted last year that I thought I made a mistake going forward by not really opening it up and making it a true competition. That was something that I had miscalculated. And hindsight is 20/20. But there really wasn't a guy that challenged Joe Burrow as the number one quarterback and said, hey, you guys got to look at me. You got to consider me.
And I think a lot of it now is revisionist history where we look back. But let's remember, Chase Young came in here last year and won Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think the kid has unbelievable talent. I think he's going to be good in this league. But I also think that he needs tutelage and coaching and need to be schemed up sometimes. Over the last 2 weeks or so since Chase has gone out, I've seen this team begin to blitz more, and they get more pressure on quarterbacks. Before, they were just putting four guys out there and say, hey, go get them. There is no one player, I think, in the NFL just going to just line up and beat somebody 100% of the time. So you need to try to do some other things. Chase was talking about chipping. Montez talked about being chipped. Well, if you start blitzing some people, that running back can't chip anymore. He has to go pick up a linebacker, has to pick up a safety, has to pick up the guy coming off the slot. They have started to scheme things up better right now, which I think will also, and I hope moving forward, once Chase gets back, you use his athleticism. You use Montez's athleticism, but you also make it to where they have those matchups one-on-one against those all linemen. The offensive linemen in the NFL, the tackles for sure, are athletic as hell and very good at what they do. Some of these guys been doing this thing for 10 years, 11 years, 5 years. They have more experience doing the job than what Chase had. So I said it last year when he played well. I said, well, now we're going to see how his game evolves, what else he brings with it. And a lot of that falls onto the coaches too now. You know, we watch a lot of guys in the NFL and we always compare like people like Chase and Montez to guys that, well, look, how about this guy? Well, guy been playing 8 years. Guy been playing 5 years. Guy been playing 6 years, 10 years. They have now experienced enough to be able to go out there and do the things that possibly Chase is going to do. You know, I think him this year, hearing all the stuff, and now sitting back looking at it, he's going to realize some different things. And whenever he gets healthy enough to start working on it, he's going to have to understand, listen, you can't have one move in the NFL. And if you ever find that dud in the NFL where you have one move against, you make sure every time you play him, you're supposed to make your stats look good as hell. So I really believe that moving forward, you know, now everyone wonder, we should have gone and got Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was fantastic last year. Started off this year fantastic. He's starting to stumble now. People are questioning him. But this is the NFL. This is fans. This is what we do in the media and what fans do. We question every time someone stumbles. Instead of saying, he has shown me what he's capable of, he'll get back to that. I always ask for, give me another year. Okay? Unfortunately, Chase got hurt. But I also know he wasn't being helped a lot to try to advance his game. And that's going to go on the defensive coaches and his personal coach. His coach that he has that coaches him individually has to help him be better, point blank.
And, you know, in talking about Justin Herbert, he's played pretty well since he was drafted, but he was the third quarterback taken that year.
True.
Kevin actually asked Ron about the second quarterback taken, which was Tua, and he had a very serious injury, and Kevin kind of asked Ron Rivera about that, and here's what Ron Rivera had to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that hip was scary. And you know, it's crazy because anytime you see that, you know, I always, you know, I flash back to Bo Jackson and what happened to Bo's career. And so when people start saying, well, it's similar to Bo Jackson, I start to say, ooh, that's not a good thing to hear.
And I 100%, 1,000% agree with Ron. I was like, I would not touch Tua because of the injury. And since he's been in the league, he has not been killing it either. We'll see little snippets of how good he can be. But I've seen more snippets of how bad he can be. And when you're about to invest that level of income into someone, you don't want to have that major, major distraction and problem. You're thinking, and he stated, Bo Jackson, we've seen probably one of the best athletes to ever walk the face of this earth. And once he had the hip injury, it was basically done for him. You know, Bo Jackson was 237 pounds, ran like 4.28. Bo Jackson can hit the cover off a baseball. If anybody ever get to a golf course where he hits the ball, he does knock the ball out of sight. He's a cycle. He ride bikes and all the things like I do as well. But this dude on the football field was just, you look at him like, damn, how can somebody that big be so damn swift? But when the hip injury happened, it was gone.
It always kind of amazed me that he played, you know, both in the NFL and Major League Baseball. But, like, if people are under the age of 35 or maybe even 40, they have no idea about Bo Jackson. Yeah, like, how big was Bo Jackson actually, you know, before that injury?
Well, Bo Jackson was so big that most of the pictures in my house are of me or of somebody I liked. Well, we have a Bo Jackson picture with him in a Raiders uniform and also with the Cubs. Chicago, I think he played with. Who is it?
Kansas City,
whoever it was. And I have a signed thing that I had to purchase because my wife liked Bo Jackson. So I got this picture, big old picture of Bo. I forgot how much damn money I spent on it, but I had to buy it because Miss Monica Mitchell liked Bo Jackson. So Bo Jackson, nothing else she wanted from anybody else like that, but Bo was. So Bo was damn good. And I would tell every kid, like anybody that's under the age of 35, go look him up. Stop just looking at players today and say, oh, that's the best person. No. Know your history a little bit. Figure out some other people and see why your parents and your grandparents are so crazy about the other people. It can teach you a little bit more about the sport and get you ready to do some different things. Let's take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to be joined by my buddy, Mr. Nolan Harrison, Senior Director of Former Player Services for the NFLPA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. B. Mitchell Finley. It's a Football Friday on B. Mitchell Finley, presented by Alarm.com. Keep you connected to what matters most. We're expecting Nolan Harrison to be giving us a call, the Senior Director of the NFLPA, Senior Director for Former Players Services for the NFLPA. And Nolan played for the Steelers, played 6 years with the Raiders, and he played also for the Washington Football Team in 2000. We're going to get his take on this game coming up this weekend as we get the Washington Football Team traveling tomorrow. Okay, a lot of people are traveling down to Vegas. I've been seeing people put up stuff since Thursday now, yesterday. And then we got JP, who's already left us. Cody's leaving us in another 31 minutes or so. They're all going to Vegas to enjoy the game. I think they're going to Vegas just to enjoy Vegas. They can give a damn. The game is like a afterthought for most of these guys. But as we start looking at this game, and I know that we've been winning and we've been doing a lot of things over the last 3 weeks and people forget to look outside, but there are some things that we need to be concerned about. And when I look at looking at the Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr is playing terrific. We were talking a little bit earlier about DeSean Jackson. I don't think Waller is going to play. But for me, I start looking at different things. I flip it over a little bit. And as we're joined now by my buddy, Nolan Harrison. If you follow Nolan on Twitter, at NolanHarrison74. Nolan played, as I said, for the Raiders 6 years, the Steelers 3 years. Came here and watched it in 2000 at the end of his career. And now he's the senior director for Former Player Services Department at the NFLPA. What's up, Nolan? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Mitch. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem, man. Well, I'm just here, you know, trying to get people here ready for this game coming up this weekend. And I know so much of it is about, we talk so much about Washington in this area where we don't get a lot of takes on the teams that we're playing. So I've tried my best every week to get somebody who played for the team we're playing, you know, somebody, and now somebody I know who will give it and break it down for us straight. As you look at this Las Vegas Raiders football team now, a team that you played for when you were drafted in L.A., then y'all moved to Oakland, and now they're in Vegas. This team, boy, they've been all over the damn place. But now they're in Las Vegas, a place that, like we was talking earlier, like J.P. asked me the question, did I ever think a team would be in Vegas? I figured they would eventually, but not expecting it this soon. You look at the Raiders team, what seems to be their strength and what Washington needs to be concerned about?
Well, I mean, they've been up and down. You know, it's well documented, all the off the field issues that the team has had to endure, whether it's losing a coach, and they got an intern coach, losing two star players, you know, and it's you know, dealing with that in the locker room, as you know, it is a distraction. No matter, you know, how people want to spend it in public, it's a distraction when you have that much turmoil going on. But they played great in spurts. You know that mm-hmm. The game against the Cowboys was exactly how they should be playing. So, you know, the defensive line shows up, they're going to be a problem. The offense is going to continue to hum. If Waller can play with that knee, then that it continues to add to our strength. It's just, you know, the team can be Jekyll and Hyde-ish. I'm hoping that the Cowboys game is going to be a launch to them to continue to go up on an upwards trajectory.
Well, I think here in Washington, when we look at the Washington football team, we talk a lot about the offense and what Taylor Heineke and the offense has done. But I look at two people, Yannick Ngakoue and also Crosby, two guys that I think are legitimate pass rushers. And I think they can be, if Oakland is going to win the football game, those two guys will have to have a good game.
Absolutely. Everything runs with the front four. If those two guys don't get pressure – if those two guys don't play their game, then we're in trouble. But as evidenced throughout the whole season, when those two guys are on, man, that defense is really tough to score on. And it's hard for a quarterback to sit back there without running for his life almost every play and, you know, getting the ball up. Now Heineke can actually do that. So that, you know, he's actually suited to play that kind of ball, which means our linebackers and secondary have got to be on task and stay plastered. But everything drives off of those two guys in that D-line.
Nolan, we were talking a little bit about Chase Young earlier. You played defensive line in college, in NFL. And I talk so much about a guy having to enhance his game as his years go on. And this year, I guess everyone expected Chase, just because he had a good rookie season, to just step in and automatically have this fantastic year. And he wasn't having it early. And I just felt that they were rushing four all the time, which – an offense comes in schemed up for a four-man rush. We're going to stop your four-man rush. You know, I got a tight end going to chip you. I got a running back going to chip you. I'm going to have an extra lineman that could come out there and help me too. But now they're starting to blitz and get some pressure. How did your game step for you, begin to move forward in what, second, third year? And how much of it was your coach trying to help you to add stuff to your toolbox to go out there and be a pass rusher?
Well, I got to tell you, man, I was blessed. All right, so I came in the league, and the guys that were next to me, Howie Long, Greg Townsend, Bob Golic, you know, I had some good vets on my line with me and good linebackers. Hell, Ronnie Lott was our safety. I mean,
wow.
You know, we had a squad, and so I came in as a young kid with all these old hats, future Hall of Famers, and they were always giving with their knowledge. And then I had a great defensive line coach, Earl Leggett. Many of his defensive linemen are in the Hall of Fame. So it was kind of a perfect storm for me. I learned from the vets. You know, I learned to calm down, learned to find my own game. But it was the same thing. When we, you got all those guys on the line, there's only so much you could do if you don't blitz, if you don't do some things schematically to help when the offensive line starts. You know, when they start, they'll line up in heavy. They have two tight ends in, or they'll keep a back in. Like you said, they'll chip. You know, the tight end will stay in. If you only rush in four, man, that's going to be a problem. You have to be able to adjust. No matter how great your defensive line is, you have to be able to adjust. And with Chase, I mean, that's unrealistic expectations on that kid. That kid is going to be a star. He's already a star.
Yeah.
He's going to go and be a superstar. But people have to temper their expectations and let him continue to develop and grow. You know, the injury was unfortunate, but he's going to be just fine.
How much of it is, like you just mentioned that, and I know when I got in the league, I had Ernest Byner, Gerald Riggs, Kelvin Bryant. Hell, I didn't need the coach to talk to me because those guys had so much knowledge. And just watching them, how much of it is today? And this, it's a young man's game. And these owners want to get the young man. They want to get the guys when they're in their prime to play for them. But how much of it is not having a lot of those veteran players there when you step in to really learn from?
I don't think I would have played 10 years if I hadn't gotten that schooling in my first two or three. So from my standpoint, I think it's incredibly important. Is the league moving away from that kind of stuff? Yeah, just like you just stated. But at the same time, if you can gain the knowledge, if you're open to gain the knowledge from the guys and you have enough guys there, it could be beneficial. Now, if you don't, man, what we used to do is we used to study film of others in the league that are at the greatness level that we want to be at, and I would study all the time. I would study Reggie White. I already had my teammate Howie Law next to me. I would study Sean Jones. I would study John Randall and Keith Millar. And that's how I, you know, outside of the great guys and the coaching that I got, that's how I got better. You got to be in there and study the film. You know, guys that are similar to your body type, where you want to be as a player, study their tactics, study what they do, and that'll help you get better in the vacuum of not having some good experience and good coaching to help you along. He's got to take that upon himself, but guess what? That's also about learning how to be a pro, right?
Yep. We're talking to Nolan Harrison here on the B. Mitchell Finley Show, and Nolan joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline, presented by BetQL Network, Ragertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game, streaming now on Odyssey. And, Nolan, you know one thing about the NFL now there. Now it's more of a quarterback-driven league. And there's a young man in Las Vegas now playing in Derek Carr where he doesn't get the love of the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady's. But he's right there. He's as good as those guys. He's right in the top five when it comes to passing and touchdowns, not throwing a lot of interceptions. How good can that kid be?
He can continue to be great. And look at the turmoil that throughout his whole career that he's had to deal with. And when you look at the numbers, and you're right, we'll talk about one of the most underrated players in the National Football League, doesn't get nearly the credit that I think he deserves. When you look at his numbers are right there with all the greats you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So why he doesn't get the kind of love and support that that others get, I don't know. But the numbers speak for themselves. You give that kid weapons and you give him time, you give him a good steady running game like any other quarterback in this league, you see what he does. He blows it up. If you don't, then like any other quarterback in this league, they're going to struggle.
Well, Nolan, he has a weapon now, and he's nursing kind of a calf injury. But if he's on the football field, we all know that DeSean Jackson can blow the top off of it. And I don't know. No one has heard necessarily what he's going to do. But when a DeSean Jackson is on the field and you're a defense, I always wonder what defensive linemen are thinking when there's a fast guy there. What's your thought process to how you help the defensive backs out?
Oh, my God. When you got that kind of speed on the outside, my only job is to make sure I make that quarterback uncomfortable. Because if you don't move him off his point, it's going to be a problem.
Uh-huh.
And the faster the receiver is, the quicker that ball is coming out, and the less chance you have of getting there. So I'm putting my ears back. I'm in my track stance. I'm making the quarterback uncomfortable so he can't just sit back there and let that receiver get over the top of us and, you know, throw bombs and big chunk plays. So that's, as a defensive lineman, how I help my DBs out, how I help my linebackers out, man, push those linemen back into that quarterback's face so he can't make those throws. He can't step forward and do anything I can to disrupt him.
Nolan, I know that you work for the NFLPA, man. You do a lot of great things out there. Hell, you know, you and I worked side by side a long time when I was still playing and doing things with the union. You probably pull for everybody, but I got to get you to give me a prediction. Who you think wins this football game? Raiders, where you play? I know they got your first love because they drafted you. Or the Washington football team, where you finish your career?
Oh, man. Oh, you put me in a hard spot,
uh-huh,
man. I love every team I bleed for, man. My DNA is in FedEx Field. My DNA is, you know, in three different cities, right?
But, yep.
You
got four different cities.
Yeah, exactly. You really think about it. You start adding all these cities up.
Yeah.
I gotta go Vegas.
Ah.
I just think that they're on an upward trajectory. Not the, of course Washington is too, but I think if both teams play their game, I think the Raiders are going to end up on top in this one. And I'm sorry everybody, but he's asking me to pick. He meant to ask me to pick, so I got to make a choice.
All right, Nolan, man, I appreciate you giving me some time, man. Take care of yourself and keep doing great things for the players, man.
Man, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you, bro. Always.
All right, bro. Priest. That's Nolan Harrison joining us here on the B. Mitch and Finley Show. You can find Nolan on, follow him on Twitter at NolanHarrison74. He does a great job for the former players. As I said, played in for the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Washington football team. I just asked Nolan who he thought was going to win the game. Well, I'm going to also ask you that. 1-800-636-1067. We also have Tim Brown coming up at 12 o'clock. So just remember that. When you call in, I'm going to get next segment. We're going to find out who do you have winning this game, the Raiders or the Washington football team. We'll be right back. It's a Football Friday on B. Mitch and Finley, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. We just asked Nolan Harrison who he thought was going to win the football game, and I'm sure a lot of people around here didn't like his answer. He said he thinks it's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, I'll put that call, same question out to you all, 1-800-636-1067. So let's go straight to the Gambit D.C. listen line, Bet, Play, Win with Gambit D.C., brought to you by the D.C. Lottery. Bet, let's go straight on, and let's start off with Russ. Russ wants to talk O-line. What's up, Russ? What's happening, brother?
Hey, Bree Bitch. Good morning, brother. That was a great interview right there. Awesome, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
I think Washington's going to win.
All right.
If we can keep doing that offensive line push that we did against Tampa Bay for that 10-minute drive. I mean, you're looking at, there's some dogs on Tampa Bay. I think they have more dogs than Dallas and the Raiders. And yeah. If we can keep this push going up into the playoffs, we keep Prescott on the bench. We keep Hurts on the bench. We keep whoever in the playoffs on the bench to get this time of possession. I know it ain't like Joe Jackson gives his style, but how legit is this offensive line is my question to you, D-Mitch. I mean, are we really into this bully ball, and do we got the guys to push and make it on through to the playoffs? So that's what I'm saying. And I know Paul Guthrie and I know Dan Quinn, they're going to bring that, you know, they're going to bring, what, 5-6 people?
Right, they're going to blitz.
I mean, we got to be able to come through there and get that yardage. So, yeah, bro. I was wondering what you was thinking, you know, as far as offensive line. Thank you, brother.
I appreciate your call. Well, you know what? The thing about it is they don't have a ton of names, but they're doing what you're supposed to do. They're producing. And they're exactly what I love about football. Football is not about names. I know so many fans get caught up in the draft pick and what name somebody has. I get caught up in the people that go out there and work together and have success. And it says a lot about their coach. Says a lot about those players, because when we talk about next man up, you know, they are exactly living and proving that, because when someone gets hurt, someone goes down, they step right in and play. They're at their fourth center, okay? And they got guys playing different and multiple positions. So Coach Masco should be, applauded for what he's done, but all of those players for making sure that they're ready to play multiple positions. So I think that they have looked at it like, I got a chance. And I'm not letting it go. We look at Eric Flowers. He came here. He was a first-round draft pick. He was damn near out the league. He came here last year. He revamped his – I mean, 2 years ago, revamped his career, left and got him a deal, and then they brought him back here. And I think Eric Flowers is saying, you know what? I didn't want to leave. Y'all didn't want to give me the money, but I had to get paid a little bit, but he's still performing. So this O-line is doing very much like the guys like a Jeff Bostic, who wasn't drafted, but went out there and played so well, he ended up playing as long as anybody else, played in three Super Bowls, four Super Bowls, won three of them, and I think that guy right there is showing a lot of what this offensive line, they got a lot of pride in themselves and they're performing. Let's go to Paul in D.C. What's up, Paul? How you doing, man?
What's up, B. Mitch, the best man on radio. How you doing, man?
Doing well, brother. How you feeling?
Man, I'm kind of like Nolan, man, because I am a Raiders fan as well as a WFT fan. And so I am a little torn. The Raiders don't need it as much as Washington does. And the thing about it is Washington is going to be traveling west, so they're going to lose 3 hours, and they're going to be on the road. And then the Vegas Raiders going to have 10 days of rest. But it's something about Washington. Whenever their back's against the wall, they play their best football, man. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm going to go with Washington. And I echo what you said. In the right before training camp, you guys asked a question and was wondering why did Ron Rivera keep so many offensive linemen, especially the ones on the practice squad. And I was in agreement with it because I felt like that the depth of the offensive line was going to be key to us, you know, being able to win football games. And so I'm glad he did that because mm-hmm. the game is still played from the inside out. So that defensive line, that offensive line is important. But I just think the Washington, the big mo, you know about that. Anybody that plays sports know momentum carries a big weight. And so I think Washington needed just a little bit more than Raiders. The Raiders are only one game back from first place. Washington knows that they control their destiny, their own destiny, if they win out. So that's it.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Well, Paul says the momentum is going to take the Washington football team over the hump. And you know what? What I like hearing, two people just called in. Two people focused on the offensive line. That, to me, says a lot because we are so caught up in just the skill position. They can't do a damn thing without the offensive line. And I think Washington's offensive line is as good as any to have ever played historically. Not this one today, but this is the reputation that Washington had when Coach Gibbs was here. You know, they had that reputation of being able to run the ball when you knew they were going to run, and you could do nothing about it. And now you're watching Coach Masco. This guy has come in, and he takes these guys, and most of these guys are not like high draft picks, or they may be high draft picks that have fallen off. You know, Leno comes from Chicago. They were letting him go. We got Flowers here. You know, a guy who was about to be out the league, but look how they revamped themselves, and it says a lot about coaching. And I like the fact that Ron focused on offensive line. They also focus on defensive line because I feel you can't win in football if you don't have those positions being very good at their job. And now Washington seems to be getting back to that. You know, I look at football, I look at the line of scrimmage. I'm watching who's knocking who back. If our O-line knocking their D-line back, we're more than likely going to have a lot of points. If our D-line knock their O-line back, we're probably going to stop them from scoring points. Let's get one more call before we go to break. Let's go to Drew in Maryland. What's up, Drew? How you doing, man?
Hey, B. Mitch, thanks. We're going to get ready to get on a plane here shortly and head to Mandalay Bay and be at the game.
All right.
Definitely rooting for Washington. But I got a question, and it kind of throwback to the question about the old regime versus new. You know, you used to kind of say that some of the players, there was a little bit of an entitlement going on. They weren't playing the guys who earned it. And my sense is, the team now is playing the guys who earn it,
yeah,
and really playing as a team. And I'd be really interested in your perspective on that.
Well, I agree with you. I think one thing about Ron, he comes in and his mindset is, I'm going to play the people that can play. And I think Coach Gibbs was the same type of way. You know, I believe that Jay played people just because. You know, he was going to play the guy that was there just because he wanted to play him, not whether they were good, the best one or not. If he liked them, that team, that guy was going to play. So Ron now does that, which makes everybody that steps in feel as if I go out there and perform, I can play well, which changes practice up a little bit. You know, they have a little bit more intense practice, which gets you ready for the game. I know the rules have changed now where they can't do a lot. But if I know I can get on the field, well, I'm going to go a little harder. So not the coaches asking for it, but it's just happening. All right, let's take a break. We're going to be back. We got Tim Brown, Hall of Famer and Heisman Trophy winner, played with the Raiders for 16 years, is going to join us. This is B. Mitchell Finley. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.